The Connection Podcast, connecting you to the life of the church community within the parish of Yate and the Froomside Benefice. So on this episode of The Connection, we are covering the very special installation of Reverend David Jones as an associate priest with pastoral and missional responsibility for St. Saviour's Copper Heath within the Froomside. And of course, having a Yate and Froomside mission area discipleship missioner responsibility. And this particular installation is being overseen by the Right Reverend Bishop of Swindon, Dr. Lee Rayfield. And on this episode, we're going to cover some of the highlights, get some interviews with the people who have taken part in this this particular service, and also we can signpost you to a website where you can actually watch the service in full.
In the kingdom of God. And that's where the idea of the mission areas came in. Mission area wasn't the most inventive name, I think you'll agree. And if anybody's got a better one, see the Archdeacon afterwards before we start making some others and wonder, can we make it a more catchy name? But the truth of the matter is that somehow, by the grace of God, which is always the best way, we found our way into a kind of way of working, that word way again, which enabled people to flourish, enabled people to do fresh things, enabled people to find energy. And even during the pandemic, when who knows what would have happened if we didn't have the missionaries, to keep going and to keep in good spirits, and to minister in a very testing time, as many of you will remember. And I take my hat off. Well, I'm going to keep it on, actually, at the moment. I take my hat off to all of you for all the amazing things you have done, especially during that pandemic period. And it is hugely exciting for me, even though I'm about to kind of retire. I've seen something happen. And I've seen us take Dave and develop him. Actually, I've done nothing to develop him. It's all in the hands of those who've been working with him. And I'm so glad he's actually staying here and being part of this new future. And so, I'm really pleased with you. Is that all right?
Bishop, after due consultation and prayerful consideration, David has been nominated and is accepted to be Associate Minister and Discipleship Missioner. I now present him to you to be installed.
I thank you and all those who with prayer and service have shared in David's ministry here in the Froomside Benefice and the parish of Yate, within the Yate and Froomside mission area. David, do you believe, so far as you know your own heart, that God has called you to serve here?
I believe that God has called me.
Will you continue to commit yourself to the mission and ministry of the people in this place to further the kingdom of God.
With the help of God, I will. I, David Gordon Jones, do so affirm and accordingly declare my belief in the faith as revealed in the Holy Scriptures and set forth in the Catholic creeds, and to which the historic formularies of the Church of England bear witness, and in public prayer and administration of the sacraments, I will use only the forms of service which are authorised or allowed by canon. I, David Gordon Jones, do swear that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to His Majesty Charles III, his heirs and successors, according to law, so help me God. I, David Gordon Jones, do swear by Almighty God that I will pay true and canonical obedience to the Bishop of Bristol and her successors, in all things lawful and honest, so help me God.
Archdeacon. David has been licensed to the cure of souls in the Frumside Benefice and Yate Parish within the Yate and Frumside Mission area. I now ask you to install him. Charge you,
actually.
Charge you?
No option.
No.
I will do so gladly.
David, receive this key in token of the responsibility which we share, and may the Lord preserve your going out and your coming in, now and always.
Amen.
It is lovely to be with you again, and thank you so much for the invitation. I've enjoyed coming to Coldbit Heath over the past 4 years, and one of the great privileges of the role that I have as Archdeacon is seeing a vacancy through from the very first meeting up to the licensing of a new priest. And it's wonderful here to see the mission area and the benefice expand and welcome Coldbit Heath into the family. Now, as we celebrate Dave's role and give thanks for the ministry of all God's people in this place, it's a great time to stop and to give thanks for everything that's been and to trust God for the future. And trusting God for the future means trusting God for His future. I don't mean trusting God to bring about the future that we want and badgering Him to do it our way. If we do that, we're like the crowds on Palm Sunday who expected Jesus to be an all-conquering Messiah, and a few days later were crying crucify because He'd let them down. But instead, trusting God for the future means asking God, what are you doing and how can we join in? And I try to keep that as my prayer. God, what are you doing? Show me what you're up to. Show me how I can pray with you. Not praying at you with my own list, but praying through the Holy Spirit. What are you doing? How can I join in? For me, for our churches. And I think the passage that we just heard from John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, also asks the question, what is God doing? It asks, who is Jesus? What's he about? And it's set right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. John carefully tells us that this is the first sign that Jesus did. And John, of course, never wastes words. He means that this sign sets the agenda. And as we enter Holy Week, it's good for us to just take that retrospective and remind ourselves what Jesus was about, how he set out his stall, how his ministry began. And it's also the passage that was chosen for our diocesan strategy, Transforming Church Together. That is all about asking what God is doing and how can the churches and communities across our diocese join in with God's mission in the world. Part of that may be missionaries. And as Jesus relates to the world around him and as he offers himself, there's this wonderful pattern in John 2, 1-11, which illuminates the four values we have in transforming church. Now, I'm going to channel my inner Bishop Lee at this point. And I'm going to... There was a bit in there. I'm going to ask, what do you know what the four values are? There are some values. Anybody know? Oh, no. Somebody call it out. Somebody put their hand up. Somebody at the back. What's that?
Generosity,
thank you. And openness, and bravery, and creativity. And I'll come back to those on the way through. Because at first sight, this is a really odd beginning. Because John's Gospel starts off, doesn't it, with this wonderful big vision all about the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was life. And that life came to live amongst us. And it starts with this glorious big canvas about the Son of God becoming man and living amongst us and sharing in our lives. We hear about Jesus' baptism. We hear the first disciples responding joyfully to Jesus' call. And it's building up to something. And then Jesus and his disciples attend a village wedding. I don't know about you, but that might come over as a bit of an anticlimax, a bit of a distraction. But maybe it's important that they're there. They're part of life. They're engaged and present. They're celebrating with those who celebrate. They're joining in with society, being attentive to what's going on. What we see here with Jesus and his disciples isn't a separated bunch of holier-than-thou followers. It isn't Jesus sitting on top of a mountaintop and waiting for people to come to him at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning. He's gone to where the people are. There's an openness about it. He hasn't gone with an agenda. He's just present. But then the wine runs out. Soon the party will come to a grinding halt. The bride and groom will be embarrassed, even in that culture, dishonest. So, when there's a problem, Jesus sees it and acts? Well, no, not really, does he? He takes his mother to point out the issue. Jesus, they've run out of wine. And the Lord doesn't seem best pleased. He's almost impatient. Effectively, he says, what's that got to do with you or me? But he is open enough to respond to unwelcome news. Now, many of you were involved in the conversations that we had, I think it was 2 years ago, at the beginning of Transforming Church Together. You may remember being part of groups at Synod or an online questionnaire. Maybe you talked about it in your PCC. And everyone across the diocese could be involved, whether they went to church or not. The point of those conversations was to find out what was going on, to listen to God and to one another, to be open to people's experience of God and the church. And people shared many good and encouraging things about the pastoral care that churches give, the worship and the community presence that valued. But also, for some on the margins, their history and sometimes their personal experience was that church might not be welcoming. It was difficult listening to this, but we heard that the church's involvement in slavery, particularly in Bristol, was a real problem. Younger people worried about whether the church was inclusive, whether enough was being done about the environment. And that was hard to hear, but it told us something important. What it told us is that those perceptions are barriers to faith. They are real. And until, as the church together, we address those barriers to faith, they will be stumbling stones which trip people up before they can encounter Christ. So there's a strong theme in our plans for the next few years about helping churches reach net zero, enabling participation by those on the margins of society, improving accessibility for those living with disabilities. Openness means a passion to address injustice and to heal what's wrong. I wonder what that means for your church, for your mission area. Certainly you've built on God-given strengths. And that's what we see Jesus doing. He looks around and he sees these 6 stone water jars, he sees a serving team, and an idea begins to form. God has put the ingredients together for those who can discern it. You, as a missionary, have seen the schools in your area, so you've employed a youth worker. You've gathered a team. It's important to work together. It's an example of how, when we take what God has given us and build on our strengths, God can guide us in the way forward. And that requires bravery. It occurred to me when I was reading John chapter 2 that this is Jesus' first sign. He hasn't done anything like it before. Jesus at this point hasn't done any miracle before. And I'm sure he knows in his head that this is going to work. And he believes and trusts God. And he knows who he is. But he hasn't yet done it. And so even for Jesus, maybe there's a step of faith here into what may feel like the unknown. What will happen? Will he be misunderstood? Will the crowd go crazy? For you, becoming a missionary in Yate and Froomside 5 years ago was a brave step. It was a commitment to work together and to build trust. It meant letting go, not doing some things independently so you could do them together. Colpit Heath took a step of faith when you decided to join in. For Dave, this is a step of faith into a new form of ministry and working together. There's risk and challenge in a split role in also being a missioner in Yate, but there's also potential for so much growth and fun and blessing. And you may also find fresh creativity within yourselves. Jesus is very creative here. He does something that hasn't happened before at all in the Old Testament. Now, I'm willing to be corrected on this, but I don't think there's a precedent for anything quite like this. Because if you think about what happens in the Old Testament when there is a shortage of food or water, there are different ways that problem is solved. So sometimes, like when Hagar is thirsty or when Samson's fought a great battle and is in danger of dying of thirst, God shows somebody some water that's there. Or maybe God brings in food from outside, like when the Israelites are wandering through the desert and they're hungry and the manna comes. Sometimes God takes a little food and multiplies it, like with Elijah and Elisha, when they go independently in different equivalent kind of events to a widow's house and she's running out. And there's a small bit of food which gets multiplied, much like the feeding of the 5,000. So Jesus, who'd grown up with the scriptures, had so many different models to use. Surely, the obvious thing to do is to take a little bit of wine and pour it into a jar full of water and multiply it. But that's not what he does. He doesn't multiply. He doesn't find another source. He takes water, ordinary water, and turns it into wine. Now, it'd be tempting at this point to jump to an application that the church's mission should always be new and different. But I don't believe that. There are many tried and tested things we do, like the parish system, like Alpha, like Southwest Youth Ministry, things that bear fruit. We don't always have to be reinventing the wheel. We don't need endless novelty, but we do need to be creative. Try new things, experiment, do old things in a new way. Be creative in what makes sense in different contexts, learning from elsewhere, adapting for a new place, knowing when a new approach is needed. Creative because God is the creator and the Holy Spirit inspires our creativity. So finally, why did Jesus do it this way? I think the clue is in verse 6. 6 stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification. Jesus transforms the water which was used for washing into wine. And that water was meant to purify you to meet God. It's meant to wash away uncleanness, get you ready to meet God. A ritual that you had to go through to be prepared. Your own responsibility. And Jesus replaces that with abundant generosity. Do you know how much wine was involved? It's a lot. It's a huge amount. I once worked it out that if you took a wheelie bin, anybody like to guess how many wheelie bins would be involved? Now, 6 stone water jars, well remembered from the reading, but it's not 6 wheelie bins. A wheelie bin is a bit bigger than a water jar, apparently. 20 to 30 gallons, 6 jars each. It's 4 wheelie bins full of wine. Now, that's some party. And this is a party where, when they take the wine to the steward, he says, well, this is good stuff. Everybody's had a bit too much to drink already. They might not appreciate it. This is abundant, overflowing generosity. This is far more than anybody could ever need. This is the abundant generosity of God flowing out upon his people. Jesus replaces water for washing to draw us close to God with God's abundant generosity, where all we have to do is reach out our hands and receive. That's what he's doing. He's saying that in him we have that gift of life. And as we enter Holy Week, as we look towards the cross, we see that so abundantly, don't we? Jesus washing the feet of his disciples, Jesus giving himself on the cross for the sins of the world, Jesus doing only what God could do so that we could be forgiven. Not in our own strength, not through what we do, but through the love of God poured out. Jesus rising again, full of the new life that comes with the resurrection, that we can share when we come to him. And Jesus pouring out the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, filling his church with power from on high, sending us out to love the world as he loves. Jesus points to the generosity of God, not something measly that we have to earn, but abundantly poured out like 4 wheelie bins full of really good wine. It's amazing to think of that God who gives us everything that we need. Because what we have in this mission area, by the grace of God, is everything that we need for the challenge that we have at the moment. In God's Spirit, by his grace, we have everything to meet the opportunity of the moment, because God is generous. So as we celebrate this new ministry, let's celebrate that gift of God to us and in us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for what you can do. We thank you for what you have done in our lives, and we thank you for what you are doing. And Lord, we are only on the shores of that vast sea. We're only dipping our toes into the water of what you can do. Take our eyes away from the challenges. Take our eyes away from the weakness or scarcity. And bring us to look upon Christ, who gave himself for us and pours out his Spirit with such abundance. Amen.
It was January 2022 that we began our journey of exploring St. Saviour's becoming part of the Froomside Benefice of Churches. And on the 1st of February, after all the legal process had gone through, that's the 1st of February 2023, St. Saviour's joined St. Michael's Winterbourne, All Saints Winterbourne Down, St. James Iron Acton, and St. Peter's Frampton Cottrell as part of the Froomside Benefice of Churches. And so this evening, as we welcome St. Saviour's into the Froomside Benefice of Churches and acknowledge their membership of the Yate and Froomside Mission Area, we together publicly recommit ourselves to the Mission Area Covenant. And so can I ask members of both benefices to stand.
That's laity and those who are ministers. I can see people not who are sat down who should be stood up. If you're in any of the churches of the two benefices, please stand. I think, Dave, we're going to have to do some coaching on Anglican terminology. And so, members of the benefice and mission area, will you pray together for the development of God's mission here?
With the help of God, we will.
Will you listen to our communities and engage with them in new ways?
With the help of God, we will.
Will you encourage and establish a youth and children's ministry across the mission area?
With the help of God, we will.
Will you strive to improve our communication with each other and the wider community?
With the help of God, we will.
Will you develop creative ways of delivering our worship?
With the help of God, we will.
Will you strive to connect with those generations missing out on the good news?
With the help of God, we will.
Will you work together in enabling the love of Christ to be shown to all people through your pastoral care for the community?
With the help of God.
So, thankfully, I've managed to catch the bishop before he ran off to get some cakes, because I'm promised there's some good cakes. Bishop Lee, nice to see you. How are you?
Oh, very good. What an uplifting service this was.
There were so many people here. It's so good to see.
It's pretty packed, wasn't it?
Now, you've been a long-term friend of the mission area over the last 5 years. You've been mentoring and supporting the leadership team to get it to where it is today. It must be great to see its growth.
It really is. I think what people won't know is I'm heading for retirement.
No
now.
Way. How dare
yeah,
you?
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. But I always said I'd go at this sort of age. Yeah. So that's the retirement age for bishop, for clergy.
Okay.
They don't always choose it, but,
no, of course not.
But I'm going to. And so there have been... We made some experiments.
Okay.
About, 5 years ago? Made experiments. And what's been fantastic is that those experiments, and I'm, by the way, I'm a scientist for those who don't know that, these experiments, by the grace of God, have been fruitful.
Yes.
Even despite the pandemic.
Of course, yeah, it's unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, I think it's the pandemic, for all the badness, it is a reset button for the church, isn't it? And
yeah.
I think I certainly have seen such growth post-pandemic. The churches are filling in areas that are supporting the communities, and I certainly can see people being turning to church for help.
Absolutely. I do think that our stock price, in many ways, not all, there are some stock lowers,
yeah.
but our stock price on caring for the community yeah. and in trying to help those who find themselves a bit near the bottom of the pile
yeah.
when it comes to most things,
yeah.
you know, we really... Jesus has got a heart for the poorest, and if we're not showing something like that in our churches and our individual lives, then we're not following Jesus, to be honest.
Great wisdom, great words. This is a great opportunity to celebrate that we've now obviously got a new vicar, a new associate priest, David Jones, who's taking residence here.
Yeah.
But of course, his job is huge because, of course, he has a missionary area, a missionary job as well.
Yes.
Any advice for him?
Yeah. Pace yourself.
Okay.
And make sure that you're not doing so much that you're draining yourself of energy. Look after yourself.
Mm.
Otherwise, you can't look after others. So do what gives you joy and fun. And I'm hoping that will be the job that you're doing.
Yeah.
But when the times get a bit... When you notice yourself flagging... You know, have breathers, because actually people are looking to you to give an example how they can cope with their busy or difficult lives.
Great advice, and I'm very confident he'll hear that and take it as he moves into this new role. Bishop Lee, thank you very much. I won't hold you back from the tea and the coffee and the cake, as it is a tradition that you must have that before you leave.
I'm a cyclist, so I burn it off, fortunately.
Of course you do. And best of luck with your retirement. Have you got any other plans? What do bishops do once they've retired?
Well, they do different things, of course, depending. But I think it'll be, first of all, it'll be decompressing.
Of course.
Enjoying, because we're moving, because you move out of the church house.
Of course you do, yes.
And we've lived in a pretty des res of a large size. So we're going to have to slim down a bit.
I can imagine, yeah.
But actually, making friendships, just taking time, I think, would be really important. One of the things that I haven't been able to do, I haven't been able to do as much reading because I'm always having to read stuff.
Of course, yeah.
So I'll certainly do a bit more reading of things which I've bought, but I haven't read yet. the other thing is just I do enjoy writing. What I'd call reflecting, really, and reflecting on things. So yeah. I'm going to have time in that decompression, or maybe after it, to just think about, well, what are the things that are coming to mind that I could write something that would be not only good for me to write, but others might find helpful.
Great. Well, best of luck. I hope you manage to decompress and find a new direction that's going to give you the fulfillment that I can imagine this job has given you
it
for so long.
It certainly has. Fantastic. Given me a lot of fulfillment. And I'm really, God put me in the right place for the right reasons.
Yes.
And it's been very, very fruitful by the grace of God.
Thank you for your time. Thank you. So we're here with Father Malcolm. Malcolm, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
What a wonderful celebration service installation with Bishop Lee here. It's been fantastic. How was it for you?
Oh, amazing. It was really great. I mean, to see so many people from right across the mission area, from the nine churches, everybody represented. Wonderful atmosphere, real sense of the spirit with us. And uplifting. I'm delighted and I'm ready for the bum fight.
Yeah, yeah. I hear there's some great cake coming up, so I'm looking forward to that.
Well, with Dave involved, it's bound to be good cake.
Yes.
It's bound to be good cake.
And of course, you alluded to the fact that you're in charge of this new fantastic mission area. Obviously, 5 years in the making, you're taking it on in this role now. What are you excited about in the next couple of years?
Well, the first thing I want to say is that I think Ian's done a fantastic job in bringing us together and taking us to this point.
Yes.
We know that the Froome side and Yate have been able to work together closely, and we've built in our relationship. And despite COVID, we're still there, and we're still full of energy and full of ideas to take things forward. Our stream leaders are really excited. They've got some really great ideas. We've got a fantastic new youth and families missioner with us. So, I mean, I think things look really great.
Yes.
We've just got to just steady ourselves, decide what our priorities are, recognising we can't keep everything up in the air. We've got to focus on what's going to help us to enable the mission of the church to really thrive in this part of God's world.
And what a great word that is, thrive. From my own personal point of view, moving between the two areas, we are thriving. There is plenty more bums on seats. There's more people engaging with our churches. It must be great for you to see more and more people coming along, engaging in all of the work that happens within the two areas.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I think that, you know, one of the things that happened through the pandemic was that we really got our pastoral work spot on. That has really been recognised in the wider community in terms of the support that we're doing now in helping our local doctors and providing listening ministry and all those sorts of things. The work that we're doing in schools, the work that the new families and missioner, children and families missioner, is undertaking.
Yep.
It's really very exciting on top of the work that was already happening in the four streams. So, we're on reset because of the pandemic, but there's lots and lots to look forward to and a lot of confidence because there's some great foundations that have already been built. And as I say, Ian led us really well in that first initial stage and through the pandemic era.
Absolutely. Well, Malcolm, thank you so much for your time. Go and enjoy those cakes.
Yeah, I'm going to.
We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, and you. Take care. God bless. Bye.
Bye-bye. So we are now with Reverend Ian Wallace. Ian, how was this evening for you?
It was a wonderful occasion, really uplifting. And I think I was so thrilled because there was a real sense of the mission area coming together again. It's something we haven't been able to do for the last 3 years because of the pandemic.
Of course.
I mean, we could have perhaps done it a little bit earlier now, but because we knew Colpit Heath was coming in, we wanted to get all that tied up legally.
Yes.
And now it has been. It was just a wonderful occasion of almost reaffirming what the mission area is and what it is all about. Because there has been a bit of a sense through COVID that slightly lost momentum as we almost had to focus in on our own, you know, sort of what we were doing. But this has just been so uplifting and affirming, and it was a lovely service and great representation from right across the mission area.
Of course,
all the churches in Yate were certainly represented, and I recognise quite a lot in Froomside. I'm pretty certain all of them were well represented.
Of course,
as well,
so it's great to look around and see so many faces from Froomside and from Yate Parish, and of course welcoming into this church, this brand new church that's coming into the area.
Yes.
It's a wonderful church to be in, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So I think they've been really keen to embrace the mission area, which actually also has also been very affirming. You know, they've looked in from outside and seen something valuable that they really want to be part of. And there's a real sort of energy and enthusiasm from the people of Colpit Heath wanting to be part of this working together, this joint initiative.
It's fantastic. Well, thank you, Ian, for your time. Go and enjoy the cake, because I'm told there's some great cakes going up. And we'll talk to you soon.
Well, there's always cake, isn't there?
Of course. Thank you. Take care.
You're very welcome.
So whilst eating the infamous cake and all the nibbles that come as part of this thing, I've managed to catch up with the Archdeacon, Christopher Bryan. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well done. What a great sermon.
I don't
think I'm ever going to see a wheelie bin the same way ever again.
No, four wheelie bins full of wine.
I know.
At the wedding at Cana.
That's amazing.
It's quite a sight, isn't it?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a fantastic evening, a great celebration of everything that is the mission area, installation of a new minister. It's just been great. How have you been? Have you experienced? Well, how do you feel this evening?
Well, this was one of the first parishes that became vacant when I started this job. So my role as an archdeacon is supporting people and parishes when there's a vacancy. And I was here in this very same hall, actually, having a meeting with the parish, just thinking about how they might become part of the mission area. So to see that through from setting that up, recruiting Dave, to the licensing now, it's really good to see the whole process.
Yeah, it must be inwardly very rewarding to see growth, such development.
Yeah.
And it's such a vibrant, growing community within the Froomside, within Yate Parish, and together within the mission area.
Yeah.
There's been so many people here this evening supporting everything that is. Yeah, a full
really
church.
Really encouraging to see.
And great to share communion with so many people, which is so good indeed. So going forward, how are you going to support the mission area moving forward? You've been great so far for the last 5 years. What's the plan moving forward?
So what we're doing at the moment is we're getting a new Austin vision for transforming church.
Yep, okay.
And a lot of this is going to be about how we transform the diocese.
Okay.
How we transform every part of it.
Yep.
So that all the churches, all the different parts of the churches can work together in God's mission. And some of that, I think, is about clearing away some of the barriers. So where we've got those perceptions people have about what the church is like, maybe when they haven't felt welcome because of their background or their race or whatever it might be.
Yep.
And then part of it is about supporting our volunteers and our clergy.
Yep.
So we're putting quite a lot into coaching for clergy and developing the practical backup for volunteers and the administration of the parishes. So,
and that stream of work has come on the back end of an incredible survey that went out across all the area, and it's great that you're reacting and responding to the feedback that you've received.
Yeah, so people from across the diocese took part in the survey. They talked about what they valued in the church. They talked about some of the things that were difficult as well.
Yeah.
And that then led us to our four values: generosity, bravery, creativity, and the other one, which I have now forgotten because I'm being recorded.
It's all right.
Generosity, creativity, bravery, and openness.
Openness.
That's right, I tried to get everybody to do it during the sermon, but of course that fell flat as well. So you put pressure on, you forget things.
I know, it's crazy.
So
that sounds exciting. A really, really fruitful future ahead of us all, I think, and it's great that you're integrating yourself into all of that to steer us forward. Exciting times.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So we've now managed to catch up with Dave, who is a couple of days after now since the celebration and his initiation into his new role. Welcome, Dave. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, not too bad.
Good, good, good. Yeah. Well, firstly, on behalf of the Connection podcast, congratulations on your installation into your role. I know these things tend to happen after when you actually started the job itself, but it was great to be part of that celebration and really good to be part of a huge crowd of support, not only welcoming you into the role, but also welcoming St. Saviour's Church, not only into Froomside, but also into the mission area. How are you feeling? How did you find that service?
It was really good. The service itself was fantastic. I thought it was really nice. And as you say, there were probably more people than I anticipated present. I think I underestimated some of the weight of support that came from right across the mission area. And so it was a real pleasant surprise. Because to be honest, I was a little bit lazy in sending out invites. When you do these things, you often get your church wardens to send invites to people from previous parishes and all over the place. And I didn't bother. I put up the generic invite on my Facebook page. I might even have put it on my Twitter page and thought that'll do.
Yeah.
But it was announced in the churches in advance. And all nine congregations turned up in good number. So I was hugely encouraged by that.
There's a lot to be said about the way you've communicated and how much people support you and actually came along, which really, really good and very positive vibe across the Froome side and of course across the mission area as well. How's the job going? Because obviously you've been in the job for a little bit longer than actually the
Well, I was licensed to it in July last year. The end of July. So, you know, you can write August off because I had 2 weeks holiday in August. So really sort of started in September.
Yeah.
And I think that the job is a good meld of all of those things that I thought I would do in ministry.
Yeah.
It's a job that really fitted me because I wanted to be able to be, for want of better words, conventional parish priest.
Okay.
And so to be the vicar type of St. Saviour's fulfills that element of it.
Yeah.
But there's also a huge part of me that wants to see people grow and develop their relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
And so the discipleship missioner part of the role across as large an area, you know, and we're talking population of almost 70,000 people.
Yeah.
So no pressure. No. that element of it is hugely important. And you don't necessarily get that if you're parish priest of a village church.
Yeah.
You know, where it's only 6,000 people and a very different dynamic. You might get that if you were parish priest of an inner city church with a bigger population, but you certainly wouldn't get it. So the two elements of being village vicar and that really work well together in this role.
It must be really healthy. I think our listeners should be relatively well attuned of the role of a vicar linked to a church. And in your case, you literally live in the garden. You've got a wonderful house that's just next to the church itself. But being part of a massive project as well and a massive area kind of is really fruitful for your brain to think about the bigger picture instead of just being stuck within the close area. But so, David, tell us a little bit about what your role will be within the bigger picture within Yate Parish and the Froome side.
So the bigger role, the discipleship missioner role, is something that means I look at what is needed for people's personal formation and how they grow in their relationship with Jesus and with God the Father and how they live their lives powered through the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
And so it gives me oversight of the study groups that already take place, and there are some really good and healthy study groups in Yate. It gives me the responsibility for guiding those in order that people don't stay static in their discipleship, but move forward and draw themselves closer to God in the process. We're lacking some of those in the Froome side at the moment, but they're due to launch end of May, start of June, with a directed program of how they might offer slightly different things to suit slightly different dynamics of people, and we can work on who needs to go where. It also gives me the responsibility of running Alpha across the mission area, and that will start on the 5th of June and run for 7 Monday nights this side of the summer break. And then I'll mop up the remaining sessions afterwards. But the first 6 sessions are the most important. So to get those done and dusted before the summer break is quite good timing, I think. And then it will give us a chance to work out where people can go to further explore what they've had a taste of afterwards.
It sounds like an incredibly exciting role, as well as your normal responsibilities to your local church, of course. How is it? Have they welcomed you as your parishioners? Have they welcomed you with open arms? You were a familiar face anyway, because you did a lot of your training locally, didn't you?
Well, I did a lot of my training in the Frimside Benefice. I served my student placement here and my curacy.
Fantastic.
So I've not moved very far. You are a familiar face. So I was a familiar face, but not to Culpit Heath.
Okay. Yes.
Until the point that the previous vicar retired.
Yeah.
And then the Frimside Benefice helped with their Sunday cover to a large extent. And that meant that I was here once or twice a month every month for 8 months before I applied for the job.
Excellent.
So it gave them a chance to get to know me a bit and for me to know them a bit. And they didn't say no at interviews, so they must have quite liked me at that point.
Yeah,
But they've been hugely supportive.
Good.
And are really good with the wider family. And,
yeah,
you know, very... They've come from a position where they've had one priest in one parish, and that's been the same priest for the last 20 years. So there was a level of comfort there. And they've been hugely welcoming to us as a family and hugely supportive of the fact that things are going to be a bit different to what they were. That it's not one priest, one parish with a sole responsibility here, but actually that has to work across the Frimside Benefice and the Yate Frimside Mission area, with that minister having multiple responsibility. So they understand that.
Yeah. Excellent times.
That changed really well.
Yeah, and it is a season of change, isn't it, for us all? Because we've got a new leadership within the actual mission area itself, and we've spoken to Malcolm earlier about what that means and celebrating where we've built on from Ian. But I think all churches within the mission area are in a season of change. There's new things coming our way. And of course, this unlocking post-COVID, we're seeing our doors open more often, and we're doing much more activity within the community that just makes us more welcome to everybody, and you're perfectly placed to enable that to happen.
Yeah, I mean, there's a post-COVID challenge, of course, because the question needs to be raised of, do we use this as an opportunity to see what we might do differently and we could have been doing better? Or do we just pick up where we were and go back to what was the normal? And I don't think there is a normal now. I don't think that's an option for us. We need to look at how we grow as a church and as people in the love of God. And this is a good opportunity for that. And we need to try and ride a wave of enthusiasm. And so hopefully that service shows that there is some enthusiasm and there is some encouragement. And, you know, it will need all of those people that were present to get on board and be part of making those waves. Maybe I should have told them that on the night.
Yeah, it was a
well done for turning up. I've got jobs for you all.
Well, Dave, thank you very much for taking the time and talk to us on The Connection. It's been great to talk to you. And we'll have you back on to talk about things like Alpha and some of the work that you're going to do as you move forward in the next couple of months.
Brilliant. Thank you. Good to talk to you.